Just in case there are some who have just come, welcome to this place. Again, my name is KP, and speaking to the lives of his people. Welcome again to all of you who are joining us online. We're so happy to have you with us as well. I do not anticipate being long in the word today, but I have yielded myself to the Spirit. So however he deems fit, then that's what we're going to do. Amen. I greet you in the name of God the Father, Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior, and the person of the Holy Spirit. In my mind, I thought we were going somewhere else today, but this week, what's been pressed in my heart is something different. It seems as if almost everything in our world today is politicized. So, of course, to wear a mask or to not wear a mask is no different. It's just another thing of the list of things, right, that are being politicized. And this has gone on now for over a year, about a year and a half now, and has really amped up even more as of late. This entire week, I watched over and over again protests for and against wearing masks. Well, we're going to wear them in our businesses, in our schools, in our churches, almost. And I won't name the business, but there was a man and a woman, and who I assumed to be their child, a little girl, who were entering the place of business before me. And there was a greeter there. And the greeter said to who I assumed the family, said, you know, will you put your mask on? The man grabs the little girl, he picks her up, he turns around, and he walks out, and the woman follows. And I could tell by the look on his face, he was very upset. He was angry that he was asked to put his mask on. And so it appears that the issue surrounding masks will only continue to get even worse in the days ahead. It's so bad, it's actually moved from a person's personal decision to wear one or not wear one, to the person that chooses to wear one will get angry at the person that does not wear one, and vice versa. The person that chooses not to wear one gets angry at the person that chooses to wear one. I even heard this week of family getting angry with family because you showed up at my. People have literally spit on, coughed on, even snatched the mask off of a person's face. Vice versa. There are those who choose to wear them who try to shame those who choose not to into wearing them. And so if you go and you try to read, there are tons and tons. I mean, there is an avalanche of information surrounding COVID-19, the Delta variant, the Lambda variant, along with another one. I'm told it's so new they haven't even given a Greek letter to it yet. So much information that it can be mentally exhausting trying to wade through all of that. On the one hand, we got conflicting and contradicting voices of so-called experts. On the other hand, the news media and even government in cases, there's just no shortage of inconsistencies. And so having to decide what's what or who to believe with whatever partisan camp they identify with. B. McCracken describes masks as a divisive political symbol. If I'm a Republican, I'm for whatever the party stands for, so the Democrats must have it wrong. If I'm a Democrat, I'm for whatever that party stands for, and Republicans must have it wrong. And a part of me just wondered as I was meditating and reflecting, a part of me just wondered if people just fall in line with one group because that's just easier to do. I'm learning, Elaine, to never be surprised at how the world reacts or responds to anything. But this is not just the world. This has become such an issue that there is division in the church. Scripture is very clear about God's will, if you will, when it comes to division in his body. Scripture says if any man destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. And in that context, Paul is speaking of those who bring division about in his body. Just so you know how serious and how relevant this is, listen to this. I'm not sure how many messages have gone forward this week addressing the subject. One boasted that wearing masks and mask mandates are simply evil. He says masks are a symbol of submission to tyranny. That the so-called COVID-19 pandemic would have never been possible without forcing people to wear masks. He goes on that, listen to this carefully now, that this is him from the pulpit, that if all of the professing Christians of the world, or at least in this country, would have simply refused to wear a mask, this whole scamdemic would have been over a long time ago. As I listen, I'm thinking, Elaine, I'm listening, I'm saying, where are the scriptures that support what you're saying? You see, I don't have a problem with anybody voicing their opinions in private conversation, but the man of God, in the pulpit, no less, in the appointed time that he's supposed to be expounding on the scriptures for the edification of the body, why would you do that? Another pastor went so far as to say that if any members of his congregation showed up in mass, he was going to ask them to leave. Stop it. Stop it. I know the right wing is watching. I don't care. If they go through round two and you start showing up with all these masks and all this nonsense, I'll ask you to leave. I'm not playing this Democrat games up in this church. If you want a social distance, you go, he names another church. I'm not going to tell you, won't know who it is. He said, you want a social distance, you go down the street to another church. But don't come to this one. Somewhere we forgot whose church this is. He says, I'm done with it. And went so far as to put a sign out on the front lawn of the church that said this, this is a mask-free campus. You kindly, look, it sounds nice, right? Kindly remove your mask or stay in your car because we celebrate faith over fear. Of course, you know, people are going to always, as we see with anything, people challenge people's views, right? So this guy asked or went on this person's site and asked this question. Says, if you celebrate faith over fear, says, is your church also a gun-free campus? The pastor responded this way. This the man of God. Imagine me telling you, and believe it or not, that particular church has grown significantly in numbers. So there has to be God, right? So today, I too will speak on the matter. And you're going to have to decide, Is KP being biblical, or am I just siding with a partisan camp? You see, we're called not to conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, right? And so it's important for every believer, to rise above political partisanship and think through and ask ourselves this. What do our faith call for or require of us regarding, look, not just masks, but anything that would seek to divide us. Now, before we look at what we're going to look at today, I will admit up front that you're not going to find mask or mass mandates directly addressed in scriptures. But I do see principles that are supposed to govern every decision of the church. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 3 through 8. For those who are able, if once you find it, please stand to your feet. Let's get back to standing out of respect of the reading of God's word. I got to be more consistent with that. Like I said, we should move fairly quickly through these verses due to the simplicity of them and the clarity of them, but not so fast that we miss the point. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 3 through 8, the Bible reads this way, beginning at verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset. Here is the key. 5 is the turning point. 5 is what does it for me. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, even death on a cross. And finally, verse 8 says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even simply practical love. Practical love meaning not just saying you love somebody, but love in demonstration, practical love. Let me pray for us, and then you can be seated. Father, thank you again for this time. God, with so much emotions and opinions centered around today's subject, Father, I pray now that you will minister to our hearts, that you will bring conviction where conviction is needed, God, that for the believer, that we only yearn to please you in our actions. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Practical love. Practical. Now, to appreciate what's happening in chapter 2, obviously I'm going to encourage you to go back and read chapter 1, right? But just to help you kind of get to where Paul is in chapter 2 here, if you go back to chapter 1, I believe it's 28 verses, but at least the 27th verse says this, whatever happens, Paul talking to the Philippian believers and I believe all believers, subsequent believers, whatever happens, listen to this now, because this is where we're talking so much about mask and everything else, we're missing the main thing. Paul says, whatever happens, listen to this, conduct yourselves in a manner what? Worthy of the gospel. That's what's getting lost in this. Conduct yourself no matter what issue or issues we are faced with. A year ago, almost a year to date, Steve, the message, for the gospel's sake, we did last year. Because whatever we do it so that the gospel is not hindered in any way. So Paul says, whatever happens, you be sure you are acting in a manner worthy of the gospel. Live your life as a citizen, not just in the United States, but as a citizen of heaven in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the central issue, at least today, that's under consideration in living our lives in a manner worthy of the gospel is, and this is where he's headed, is to walk in humility before God. To conduct ourselves humbly in our relationships with one another. And so when we come to chapter 2 here, even though we're starting in verse 3 and verses 1 and 2, Paul commands those believers, and I believe us today, to make his joy complete, to bring his joy to fulfillment. And he goes on to say in verse 2, that is accomplished by being of the same mind, bent on one purpose, for the gospel's sake. The emphasis there in those two verses of 1 and 2 on unity, the oneness. And what we're getting ready to see in verse 3, though, to function in harmony or in unity, it necessitates humility. Somebody's got to humble themselves. So Paul's whole burden over this, if you will, is he believes because you cannot walk in a manner worthy of the gospel if there is conflict and bickering and arguing and division. So he says in verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Paul is saying this runs contrary to what I was just talking about, unity. You see, if I have it my way, Dale, that means you have to have it your way. And what's going to happen is there's conflict. I see it from my perspective and I do it my way, and you see it from your perspective and you do it your way, you're going to have division. But Paul, the opposite of this, the contrast of this, is do the latter part. Humble yourselves in humility. Value others above yourselves. Keep in mind that the thought is practical love. You have to put others before yourself. It's easy to say, I'm a humble person. It's easy to say that I love people. But it has to be practical. It needs to be seen. And so Paul here, encouraging these believers, says no matter what happens, it's all about the gospel. So whatever your circumstances, whatever your situation, whatever the thing is, and I started out by saying it seems as if almost everything is politicized, all of those things, Paul says, make sure you're valuing others above yourself. I am to evaluate everyone. Watch this. This is going to mess people up and make people, this is a difficult pill to swallow. I am to evaluate everyone as more important than myself. That's hard to swallow in a society that says, you know, live your best life. This society, this world's message is whatever makes you happy. But Paul, and I believe I have the Spirit too, is saying here the opposite. I am to value others above myself. And he goes on to say, in case you're getting it twisted, KP, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And I believe this is practical love. I'm looking for ways to promote you, to encourage you, to enhance your service in Jesus Christ, to make you more effective as a person in Jesus Christ. And see, that would, if I do that, Dale, that would take the conflict out of it. But you know what we do? Well, I don't have a problem doing that as long as you do the same for me, right? God is saying here, wait a minute, KP, because God is saying here, you're obligated to do that to me too. You is not conditioned on whether you're doing it for me. That's what we're missing. Well, who's going to look out for me then? You see how you're not thinking about them, you're thinking about yourself. I have to leave that in God's hands. But now, get this, if all of us who are professed believers are functioning biblically as we should, then everything would be taken care of. Because each of us would be looking out for the other's interests. So this is the context we've come to. And so now, and you see how we're moving quickly through this, because 5 through 8 is where I really want to hang my hat on practical love. 5 through 8, you have what's called the incarnation of Christ. I like the way the NIV Bible has a heading here that says imitating Christ's humility. Because we know anybody can define what humble means. This world has its own definition of what love means. But let's look at what I believe to be the greatest example of humility, the greatest example of practical love. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Had he stopped right there, you would have been left to wonder, but he does not. He goes on to tell you exactly what he wants you to know. What is this mindset that Christ Jesus had? Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, fully God in every way, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. And he's going on to talk about this incarnation. And the point he's making here about, look at it, consider the mindset of Christ. God the Son, all-powerful, all-knowing, holy, just in every way, would not consider equality with God something to use to his advantage. Now, wait, what do you mean he's not using it to his advantage? He's going to tell you. Go to the next one for him. He says, rather, this is what he did. Even though he's fully God, even though he is the God the Creator, God the All-Powerful, by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, even to the death on a cross. Rather than stay up in heaven, on his throne, rightfully so, as the God of all things, he humbled himself. He put others before himself that did not deserve for others to be put before him. He put his own creation, the Creator put his creation before himself. Now, you got to think about this, talking about making himself nothing but taking on the very nature of a servant. The Holy God taking on the weakness of flesh. The Holy God now knows what it is to hunger, to get tired, to get thirsty. The God who needs nothing would subject himself to that, would humble himself to such a stature for what? To be the demonstration of what it means to put others before yourself. Look at this thing now. This has us focusing more on our rights than it is the gospel. Did. Taking on human likeness. And if that's not enough, well, you know, KP, I get it, but it's uncomfortable to me. You think that cross wasn't uncomfortable? If anybody had a right, he had a right to just say, Father, do away with them all. They deserve it. But that's not what this type of love did. This practical love said, for God so loved the world. Yeah, but how? He gave his only begotten Son. And even though he was God, he did not consider himself equal. He lowered himself. He humbled himself. He didn't relinquish from being God, but he took on human likeness. He didn't have to do that. Think about the cross, not just the cross itself, but the moments that led up to it and all that he endured. That's why one of my grandmother's favorite songs, and you probably, like, some of you may love it too, and you know the words to it, but she loved that part when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And so all of this stuff, we got to recognize the real hand behind it, not political parties, but the prince of this world who seek to distract us in any way possible so that we take our eyes off the main thing. I have, and I hope this is a true, I believe this to be true, but only you know it to be true because you're there watching me every Sunday. And I told Elaine, pray for me. She was like, what are you worried about? And I said, you know, I've learned that people will take my words and say things that I did not say because that's not what they want to hear. I am not biased in any way when it comes to the Word of God. I am not going to try to use scripture to fit my ideology or where I stand with anything. I don't have that authority. So when I tell you, I believe the governing principle when it comes to this, so we can move from this and move and focus on what we're supposed to because of this great sacrifice and death on a cross for my sins and your sins, I believe practical love says, and I'll be able to show you, I'm getting ready, KP, consider others above yourself. It doesn't matter whether the numbers are screwed. It's irrelevant. I know people will take things, that's why we talked about last week, we're born with this sinful nature. Man, in his sinful nature, will use whatever he can to manipulate to get what he wants. So do I believe in not just in masks and everything, in all things there is manipulation, conspiracy, and all that thing, because man's evil heart thinks that way, how he can get ahead using whatever it is, especially with fear. The elders and myself, we met about the mask. And I still stand behind the decision that we all agreed in there. We believe in obeying the government. But if the government does not mandate it, we're not going to mandate it. Listen to me carefully. Because I don't believe for a Christian, you need to be made to love somebody. You need to choose knowing that this is what God wants from you. Now, if the government mandates it, we're going to abide by the law. But I'm asking you, so it won't be mandated here, but I'm asking you, you have to ask yourself. Oh, you read it for me already, I know it. I'm asking you, what does love, what does your faith? Now, I didn't ask your opinion. I didn't ask you what any expert said. I'm asking you, what does your faith call for you to do? Wait a minute, because then the pastor said this is faith over fear, right? Faith over fear. Be careful with that. And we even discussed this in the leadership meeting. You have to be careful with that because you don't want people to believe. You don't want to now cause people to stumble because you're saying somehow if they wear a mask, they somehow are not people of faith. Don't be careful about that. But what does our being Christians belonging to him and not ourselves require of us for somebody? Let me just put it out there so y'all don't even have to guess. I don't like the mask, just so you know. Matter of fact, I was mad because last year I had to renew my license. And because I was wearing this thing, my picture on my license, my beard is sideways. My goatee was messed up, and they wouldn't let me retake it. I was mad about it. I'm just saying. I don't like the mask. It's uncomfortable. It itches sometimes. Yeah, Elaine, I'm sorry. It's the truth. It itches sometimes and all of these things. But he endured. KP, how can you, I'm going to use the word withhold good, if you will, in the sense of when he demonstrated to a degree that I can't even fathom. Paul, and this is what we dealt with last year, and for the gospel's sake, and look at how relevant it is, I almost come full term now. Though I'm free and belong to no one, Paul says, I've made myself a slave to everyone. to win as many as possible. Paul never lost sight of the main thing. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law. Now, let me stop right there before I keep reading. Me and other religious leaders, we could probably stay in a room for hours going back and forth and back and forth. And I think there's only one thing that needs to be discussed. Everything falls under two commands. The first one is rather simple, and we get it. Love God, right? But it's that second. Because loving your neighbor as yourself, what does that mean? Paul goes on to say, to the weak, if you believe that somehow I just told you I don't like the man, but if you believe that somehow I'm germophobic or I'm operating in fear and I'm wearing this thing and it's a hoax, it's a scandemic, as they just said, one of them said, you believe all of that, then consider me weak. And Paul says this, to the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might have some. I was so blessed yesterday. We had a meeting yesterday with the leaders. And there are strong feelings about this particular subject. But you know what I saw in unison in there yesterday? Because we knew how one felt about it, the question was asked, are you more comfortable if we all do this? If we put our mask on? Because we're thinking about the other person, even though I couldn't wait to get out. Now, he was okay with it, but I'm just saying, that's how it is. When I go in the store, I'm hurt. That's why I don't like going in there. I'm going to hurry up and get my stuff and come on out. But to the weak, I might save some. Listen at this. I do all of this. Paul says, I do all of this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. Get this. That's not the only one. Then you come back right just the book before that, and you come to the 14th chapter of Romans. That was 1 Corinthians 9. And when you come to the 14th chapter of Romans, it says, except the one whose faith is weak. Listen at this. Without quarreling over disputable matters. Except the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. And for those who would go on to read the rest of Philippians chapter 2, you're going to see by the time you get towards the, no, not the end, but in the middle, do not do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and a crooked generation. So all of a sudden, I don't have to wade through all the information. I don't have to wade through it. Because somewhere in there, somebody's lying to get what they want. Somebody's skewed the numbers so it can sway something this way and that way. The fact of the matter is this. There are people that are dying from it, and it has caused fear. And I thought about it because we taught our children a little while ago. It became so popular. What would Jesus do? When people fear, I don't believe that he would throw that fear in their face. I believe he would come alongside them. And I believe that's what Paul's point is about putting others before yourself. And the reason I can say that, even though it doesn't specifically talk about masking now, even though he was God, he did not consider himself equal, but lowered himself, humbled himself, became a slave, took on human likeness. It says he didn't just do that. He went all the way to, if you go and read all of the events that led up to it, to the very moment that they nailed him to that cross. Even though you stop for a moment in the garden and see that human likeness weakness where he's praying and as if it's drops of blood and Father, if it's any way, remove this cup from me. No, KP needs me. KP is lost. If I know it was for everybody there, when I read that, I view it as if he's doing it just for me. Father, KP, nevertheless, let your will be done. KP got to have this. This is what is going to be needed. This is what it's going to take, Father. Don't let something, again, I mean, don't get me wrong. Everybody's, we can have our opinions about this thing. I'm just asking us the question about what does our faith require of us when it comes to it. I believe the governing principle here is this. There should be a practical love from the Christian. Our Lord and Savior demonstrated it, and I believe we ought to demonstrate that as well. So, going forward, this is what you're going to see from me. No, this is not no mandate telling nobody what to do. You have the choice. It's going to be in my pocket or somewhere, but I'm going to walk around with this thing. There are those people who, this is not a disrespectful, I'm just using biblical terms, who are weaker in their conscience than I am. I've been vaccinated, I feel fine, I've been out, all those things, but there are others who are scared for their lives to be. We want to go ahead and say, let me tell you how what my stance is on this versus, you know what, Elaine? It's pandemic. You know, there's something else out there that people are not aware of. It's called sin that are killing people too. Now, a mask won't save you. CDC don't have an answer for it. See, you can have opportunity in the midst of this. That's what God does. When you go back and you read through Acts, all of the things that he allows the church to experience and go through, always was a benefit for the gospel. Always. But we've taken our eyes off the main thing. And today, yes, we talked about masks, but I hope you heard me clearly so you don't think, KP, oh, this was just about masks. I believe it's a governing principle for anything that would bring division in the body. There should be practical love. It's a simple question for me. What does love require of me? Yeah, I know what my rights are. I do. And I don't believe none of them know what they're talking about. Tell you everybody, I got two experts, but both of y'all saying contradictory things. How am I to know with God, which I believe is the absolute truth? What does love require of me? And I believe it says, KP, according to this text and even other texts that I read to you, that you and I are to show practical love to people. Sure, if you want to talk to them and tell them where you stand and why you stand, that's fine. But at the end of the day, and I encourage you to come on Wednesday night because this is what we're getting ready to do. I didn't even read it because I know we're getting ready to do it on Wednesday night in Bible study. We're getting ready to go over Romans chapter 8. But let me just say this and I'm close. Because what it has to do with food off of the idols. There's no such thing as any other God. There's only one God. So idols are not really anything. But Paul goes as far as to tell these believers, but you know what? That bothers some of your brothers and sisters. And just like he's telling these Philippian believers, he says, you got to be patient with them. If it bothers them, KP, don't let that be a stumbling block for you and their relationship. Just show practical love. Father, thank you for our time together today. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you. You know, Father, I have to admit, it's tough in the sense to have our emotions. But on the other hand, God, it's as simple and easy as, what does love require? God, and I just pray you'll minister to our hearts. Let me, in their hearing, because I know you know my heart, I've been guilty in this regards. Flaunting my freedom, if you will. And for that, I ask for your forgiveness. I pray, God, that we would forget about ourselves and that we'll know that you're coming back soon and that everything that we're doing now is to impact, it should be anyway, to impact eternity. So I pray, God, that we're not a stumbling block for those whom you seek to hear the gospel. I pray that we don't just speak the gospel from our lips, but our very lives is a testimony that they see how those Christians love. Help us understand clearly your will in all things, Father. Pray now that your word found fertile ground, and I pray that it brings fruit to your glory. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Joy's about to play, and he's going to give us, which gives us a time to contemplate. I'm a Christian before I'm anything. I'm not Democrat, Republican, anything. I'm a Christian. And I'm striving to not let anything supersede that. I try my best to stand up here and choose words carefully so that I would not be at least even accused of being biased. I try to stick to the scriptures. Go back and look at it for yourself and forget about yourself and forget about your emotions. And not, again, this isn't just about masks. This is about anything that comes in here that brings division in here. We've been given a great honor, a great privilege, a great calling. Come alongside Jesus and his mission to seek and save those who are lost. And I'm afraid, following the standards of the world, we get caught up and take our eyes off of that, and we find ourselves bickering and arguing about things that really should not be. Let's not let the devil or the enemy continue to deceive us with these things, or distract us, rather, with these things. Obviously, if you find out legitimate information or information that you believe to be helpful, yeah, share it. I'm not saying don't do that. Don't get to a point now that, keep in mind, you're saying it's gotten to a point now, else no more. I don't know how that is the love of God. And let me say, the moment y'all hear me treat this church like it's mine, you need to get rid of me. Because it's not. Stand on your feet for me. You can come to my left, your right, if you want to kneel before the altar and have a talk with the Lord. You can come to my right, your left. You can kneel and have someone come alongside you and pray with you. Choose to love. Won't you come?
Come out of sadness, wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let the rescue begin. Come find your mercy, sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Earth has no sorrow heaven can heal. So lay down your burden, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your cup home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart. Come as you are. Come as you are. Lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home, you're not too. Lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are.
greatest privilege that was given in the commands today was this, to think like Jesus thinks. Do you know that's we pray for us and we'll be dismissed. Father, we praise you today for our Savior, the work of salvation, the work of redemption. Father, I hope that it resonates in all of our minds and hearts, that it even boggles the mind, goes beyond our understanding, that the one who the angels adore will set aside himself, set aside his glory and become not just a man but a servant, Father, to carry out the plan of redemption and to die such an awful death, God. And the only thing that was before him was our interest, that we might be saved, that we might be redeemed, that we might have or be privileged to have his righteousness so that we can share in your presence. Help us see things for what they are, and help us be whom you have called us to be. May we think as Christ thought, in order that the glory of his life and character may be seen in our relationships together. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You have a great Sunday.